Welcome to the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast series. Our show is brought to you by the Frictionless Guest app, which allows innkeepers to provide guests with their recommendations of the best local places to eat, play, and shop during their stay. The Frictionless Guest app is accessible through all mobile and desktop devices, and you can learn more about it by visiting frictionlessguest.com. Once again, that's frictionlessguest.com. I'm Matt Langan, and I'll be joined by Steve Short, the founder and CEO of the Frictionless Guest app. And today we're speaking once again with Rob Fulton, CEO of the Association of Independent Hospitality Professionals, otherwise known as AIHP. As many of our listeners know, AIHP is a nonprofit that represents, supports, educates, and advocates for independent hospitality professionals and innkeepers to enhance their personal satisfaction and business success. In part two of this two-part podcast series, Rob will be discussing his organization's 2019 State of B&B's report, as well as the impact of short-term rentals on the sector and the future of the sector overall. Rob, do you want to dive into a little preview of the 2019 update of this study?
Yeah, so research is really important to the industry, as I said. There really hasn't been any substantial research that we could dig our teeth into since about 2011. And I think for all the things that we're talking about, right, data drives decisions, and we all make decisions that way. And for us, as we think about, you know, what to advocate for and what are the trends in the industry and where are we going, et cetera, and how healthy is our industry financially and grow and so forth. So focus right, you know, like I said, kind of from a 30,000 foot view, kind of took a snapshot and says a lot of, you know, so while there are some challenges, there's a lot of potential and we feel the industry's growing. So want to dig a little deeper this year. We're working with somebody who is a really talented a researcher from a university in Kentucky, Transylvania University, that her name is Julia Pointer, who's going to working with us. She's in the midst of this right now. She did some interviews at Summit, talked to some of our, particularly some of our realtor partners that are in the business of helping what we call, again, aspiring innkeepers or aspiring professional hosts that are buying a property or those that are seasoned and are getting ready to sell a property. So they kind of live in that space, and the numbers and data are really important to them. So Julia spent some time with them at the summit and is drafting a survey, and we'll be getting that out, I'm hoping, here in the next couple of weeks to our membership, and then start to gather that information and hoping to have some results and be able to share the study kind of end of second quarter, early third quarter. So I'll keep everybody posted on that. But the kind of the objectives of the study are, again, to dig down a little deeper, determine what owners or managers of these properties. We're seeing a lot more management companies that have multiple properties that they manage, or, you know, owners that own multiple properties. So we're seeing a lot more of that. So it's kind of an interesting, I guess, a growth area in the industry as well. But we really want to dig in and see what they think is necessary to be successful in the industry. So I think being able to capture kind of their thoughts and viewpoints as we dig a little bit more into those key metrics of success. The other, and I think probably the bulk of the survey, and I think which is what is really the important information, is gathering information related to, you know, kind of everyday operations for these properties, looking at their marketing efforts, kind of the human resources. So for those that have staff, you know, what does that staff look like? Are they offering benefits, pay there, and, you know, digging into where we can to the financial data of the property. And I think one of the most requests that we get, and where I think the reason, and one of the reasons we wanted to do this survey, is there's a real need to have our members be able to compare themselves to other peers that might be in their same, whether it's same geographical area or a similar, you know, property type. And in the association business in particular, these benchmarking surveys are really important to make some business decisions and get a feel for, you know, so Focusrite says we're growing, and, you know, they laid out some of the challenges and the opportunities, but now get a chance to really dig in and say, so does our members, you know, supporting that? Are they really different? What are those financial numbers looking like? You know, the average daily rate and occupancy levels and those type of things. So we're looking forward to doing that. I think I mentioned at kind of earlier in these comments about the, you know, aspiring purchasing a property, or, you know, those that have been in the industry for a while, seasoned ones, you know, selling a property. And this data is really important to our partners that are involved in that. So looking forward to helping them with that. So the data will really be 2018. So we'll go back and look at this most current fiscal year. And then, you know, what are some anticipated changes for 2019? So really looking forward to having this we'll make it available to the membership and to the industry when it's available. And we'll plan to do, you know, some things like this each year. So we kind of keep, I think it's important to have some current numbers for some of these conversations and decisions. And like I said, I hope that we have that early, you know, kind of early July-ish so that we can get that out to the industry.
Excellent. Awesome. Steve, yeah. I was going to kick it over to you. Anything else to add?
No, I think not in terms of the study, the prior study or the upcoming study. I think it's pretty well covered.
All right, perfect. Well, I know we covered off on some of the new channels, you know, like Airbnb and OTAs, but should we dive in a little bit more about AIHP's role in this? Did you all want to expand a little bit further on that? We've kind of jumped around a bit, which is certainly not a bad thing.
Yeah, just maybe just a couple other points on that. Matt, I know, like you said, we dove into some of this. I don't want to beat the horse to death necessarily on the topic, but like, you know, as we know, we could spend lots of time on it. I guess I would just reiterate again that, you know, I think there are opportunities. We you know, we tend to mention Airbnb, but there are other short-term rental platforms, HomeAway / you know, VRBO and some others out there. And it's an opportunity. And our position has been, and you know, AIHP, that we want to advocate. So properties who are on these platforms, we want to make sure that they're regulated, they're paying the appropriate taxes. They should be really held to the same standards and regulations as any professional run property, whether it's a bed and breakfast, an inn, a cabin, you know, a lodge, whatever the case may be. So with all of these entities or these companies, you know, that's really been our focus, is to work on a relationship, educate about our membership, and talk to them about where, you know, our industry fits into their marketing channel. But, you know, advocating for this fair and level playing field. And I just don't want that point to get lost, because, and I've had this conversation with our membership and talked to them about it, that, you know, again, our role, we believe, is to be at the table. So sometimes you're sitting at the table with those you don't necessarily agree with, but better to have that conversation and have them in the tent, so to speak, that we think, than to, like I said, to kind of stand outside and maybe just be upset about it. So it comes with its challenges, but we found that most are open to, you know, what we're trying to advocate for, and are open to creating some sort of change that we think is positive for the industry.
Excellent. Steve, anything else there?
Yeah, and I think there's also, like with, you know, OTAs, for example, and online bookings, there are opportunities, I guess. I mean, there are challenges trying to get out there, and obviously you'd rather have people booking directly and not have to pay the fees. But I think maybe you can talk a little bit about the opportunities, because I'm not the expert. But if an inn wants to, you know, use OTAs, and I mean, there are ways that they could probably end up with more bookings because of that, as opposed to not using them, fee or no fee, right?
Right. You know, you mentioned Book Direct, so that's, you know, in a perfect world, that's the choice. And you'll see us talking more about Book Direct, doing some Booking Direct campaigns. We're partnering with some other associations and some of our LA partners to move this forward. And for the industry, in fact, we have a website, bookdirect.education, which is really, it's not really a consumer website. It's really more for the industry to help, to give them some resources and some tools to help educate their guests about Booking Direct. So some properties are doing that already, but we'd like to see more of our properties having a conversation, you know, where they can, or doing something creative at their property where there's an educational effort underway with a consumer to say why Booking Direct is beneficial to them versus going through, you know, through a third party channel. And I have this conversation with my family all the time, because they think that they're Booking Direct, or they think they're going to the website, and, you know, there's some deception and some challenges on some of these third party sites where you think you're going to the property's website and you're not. And that's probably a good conversation, to be honest with you, for another podcast, is really kind of digging into this Book Direct concept and where the challenges lie for the consumer and the education. So, but, you know, long story short, we have this website for our industry partners to give them some tools to be successful. But there are, you know, at the end of the day, though, you know, these, whether it's Airbnb or HomeAway or Expedia or Booking.com, TripAdvisor, you know, the list goes on, there are markets that they can help you get to that you really could probably never get to on your own. And some properties, they don't use the online travel companies, you know, at all. And for them, that works. They may not need to do that. But I think there are areas and segments where there is some validity to that. And I think, without getting into too much detail on this call, but, and this is what some of our ally partners do really well when they teach and help their clients is you just have to manage, I think, your inventory and manage how you're using these third-party sites, because they can get you, you know, they can help fill bookings that you couldn't get on your own, or you may have some additional, you know, some rooms and you just haven't gotten any direct, you know, bookings to your website. And so there's an opportunity to get some help, but it's just all how you manage it. And, you know, the commissions, of course, and financial impact is one of the detractors sometimes for others or for properties to use these sites. But, you know, but the opportunities are there. And I guess this is the last thing I would say, and that is the traveler, you know, and this is a little bit of what we saw in the Focusrite study. We didn't have time to get into all this, but it did talk about, you know, the traveler expectations, and especially those non-B&B guests that they were interviewed and what they're looking for. And where why I think that the bed and breakfasts or inns or small independent lodging have such an opportunity, despite some of these challenges we've been talking about, is almost all of these companies are trying to recreate what our members already do so amazing, and that is the guest experience, right? It's personalized. It's, you know, an owner or the staff on the property can give you local recommendations, the restaurants, museums, you know, all the things that we know today's travelers want to experience, where it's more personalized versus just going to kind of a cookie cutter property that you're kind of getting the same thing no matter where you go. And we've had that. These companies have, you know, have kind of leveraged that for themselves, but it's really what's amazing about our industry. And I think we just have to, as an industry, wrestle that back a little bit and really, you know, I think really re-grasp, I guess, or promote that that's what we do, because it fits in so nicely with what we're seeing as traveler profiles and what they're looking for, especially the young, you know, the younger generation. So that's where I think the opportunities lie, and hoping that, you know, that our properties take advantage of that and, you know, mitigate and navigate the challenges with some help, either through the association or through one of our partners, but embrace the fact that these companies are trying to replicate what you already do so well as a property. And if they could own that, then I think it positions us to be the type of destination of choice, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that, to me, that is the experience is the big, I guess, differentiator for inns and bed and breakfasts, that a more branded entity, you know, like you say, cookie cutter entity, they can try to replicate or have, you know, phenomenal properties or whatever, but they're never going to, I don't think, kind of have the inside scoop or be able to kind of stay up on locally what's going on and what should be recommended and where, you know, it basically information that the innkeeper has that can lend so heavily to the guest experience. I don't see, I mean, that to me is a huge differentiator, and it needs to be leveraged, I guess. And, you know, I think that I don't see how that can be replicated by the cookie cutter brand approach. But anyway, that's kind of my perspective on that.
Yeah, no, I don't, I mean, I think where it hurts us or where the challenges are is, you know, a lot of these, you know, certainly the third party sites and some of these larger properties that we see trying to do this. I mean, I've seen several, you know, hotel chains at a couple of sessions last year where some of these larger branded properties were talking about how to have a more independent brand than what they currently have, because they recognize that this is what the traveler wants. And so they've got to speed on the resources. That's our challenge, right? They can, you know, and just going back to the Book Direct, you see some of these Book Direct ads on, I think I just saw one from Hilton, and, you know, different branded properties are doing these Book Direct campaigns. We don't have the money for that as an industry. That's always a challenge, but we do own the experience. And I think we're trying to find ways to just, you know, kind of plant our flag on that experience concept more. I mean, this is just my opinion, but, you know, because that's what everybody's saying they wanted. I mean, even when I see these ads or, you know, I hear these companies talking about, they're trying to create these unique experiences, and that's what our industry owns. I think we own the experience, but the challenge for us is we have to brand and market that experience with a limited budget. And so that's where the, you know, I think the competition lies. But that's, to me, the good news in all of the, you know, in the Focusrite study and the other stuff is we own what the traveler really wants right now. And just a question of making sure that we can, you know, communicate that with the guests. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, make sure the guests are aware of the fact that if you want genuine experiences, you're not going to get anything better than at a bed and breakfast or an independent inn. I mean, it's, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to I don't want to get back into Airbnb, but, you know, I think that maybe there's maybe the understanding or the perception of that with a true bed and breakfast, or, you know, a true inn run by an independent innkeeper. Maybe that's some of probably younger people don't necessarily differentiate the two between, you know, staying at an Airbnb place versus a true bed and breakfast.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe that's part of the challenge is perception and communication of that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just with my family. One last little story. I just was at a wedding this past weekend with my family, and it was out of state, actually down in Georgia. And I just had this conversation because, you know, some of my family had been on a recent trip and stayed at an Airbnb, and they kind of, some feel kind of think it's the same thing. So, you know, we have, it just tells me that we have, you know, we have our work cut out for us to, you know, to continue to brand what a professionally run independent property is. But I also think there's a role for us to help professional hosts that are not bed and breakfast or inns or other, you know, kind of professionally run unique properties, but they're professional hosts. They want to do a good job. And we had several at the summit that came to the summit this year that don't identify themselves as a bed and breakfast or an inn, but were there because they want to know how to be a better professional host, how to market their property better, how to have a create a better guest experience, how to take advantage of technology, you know, and the things we talked about at the start. And so there is a role for us, I think, in not only supporting bed and breakfast and inns and that segment of our industry, but also other types of unique lodging and also professional hosts that we can help them be better. And we can also help them understand the things they need to do in their local communities in terms of, you know, lodging tax or if there's regulations that are required because, you know, to host a guest and those kind of things. So I think that's probably where some of the real growth lies is expanding what our core membership does so well, helping to help that, you know, with other types of folks that will then, you know, be doing and be successful the way it would make sense. And so you kind of see that's kind of the long term. I think you know, kind of think about where we're going in the future. I guess that'd be one thing I would say is, you know, taking advantage of the knowledge and expertise of those in our industry to help others, you know, be the same and be as successful as our members are. And I think that's mm-hmm. where a lot of the growth lies is taking what we know and transferring it out to others.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
Steve, should we jump on to the last couple of questions here and wrap it up?
Yep, that sounds good, Matt. Go
all right. And Robin, I think you covered off on a lot of this kind of throughout the podcast, but we'd just love to hear kind of a quick synopsis of your perspective on the future of the industry overall.
Yeah. So just taking off on what I just said, I think there's going to be a real opportunity to grow small independent lodging in a way that will, I think, really expand our footprint. And I think in a healthy way, because like I said, we'll be able to take the expertise in those that are so good at what they do and allow them to be mentors to other, what I'll just call professional hosts or other, you know, property types that want to be. So I think we'll see a lot more, you know, growth in that way. One of the things that was in the Focusrite study is too, and I think it's just, you know, in terms of growth for the properties is really leveraging the local experience to drive other types of revenue. I think one of the reasons that the Focusrite study showed some significant growth or continued growth in our industry going forward is not necessarily just because of growing overnight room revenue or, you know, that lodging revenue, but more and more properties finding other types of, you know, non-lodging revenue to help their business grow. And I think that is contributing to this idea that the industry could, you know, could get to itself collectively at, you know, $5 billion or so, you know, by next year in 2020. So there always have been traditional properties that, you know, some have restaurants and some are traditional wedding venues or other types of, you know, events. But, you know, and I've had this through some personal experience, you know, from friends and family I know as well, but there are more and more travelers that want to do a small wedding or do an elopement or do a renewal or, you know, do a corporate retreat or a team building, you know. So where you might not have seen or felt that or our industry might not have promoted that a bed and breakfast or an inn or, you know, a cabin or a lodge or some sort of unique lodging property would be a good venue for that. We're seeing more of that. And I think that's, you know, a positive sign that really every size property is trying to find how to best leverage that property. And it may not just be about having an overnight room, but it's about these other ancillary things. And I think, you know, I think that's a good, that's a positive thing to see. And then I think in the future too, is just continuing to wrestle with these challenges. I think what I always take away from the summit, and I hope others do that go, and like Steve said, I mean, the summit's not all that we do, but it's a significant event, is, you know, it always drives home the importance of collaboration. And I think we sat in our last breakfast there on that last morning on Thursday. It's called our state-by-state breakfast, and it gives us a chance to just hear from different state partners about what's going on around the country. And the takeaway for me is we're going to have to do this together. We're a small part of the overall travel and tourism picture in this country. Important part, but we're a small part of it. And we're going to have to really ramp up our, you know, our voice. And I do see us doing more of that going forward in the future. I think that's been missing in the past, which is kind of what's gotten us into some of the challenges we're in, because we haven't been as vocal and as visible as we should be. So I think those are all positives. You know, there's the potential to grow with what we're seeing, you know, online, if we manage it appropriately, and we as an association do a good job advocating. We're seeing other revenue streams to help properties be successful. And I think we're seeing more, you know, grassroots activities, so to speak, and a stronger voice, which are, to me, those are three positive things to kind of get the industry, you know, where we need to be.
That's great. You know, Rob, I know we've covered off on a lot of stuff on this podcast series here. Anything else to add before we sign off?
And I really appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the partnership with Frictionless Guest App. I really appreciate, Steve, that you were there at our summit. And I know being there helps you to get a visual of, you know, our membership, and you're able to hear some conversations and get a feel for how we can work together. So we appreciate the support for sure. And like I said at the very start, I mean, you know, marketing, all the different issues that we talked about are important, but, you know, technology is really up there at the top too. And the more creative products and services like what you're offering to, you know, to the membership and to our industry, the more that's going to help just elevate us. And I think our industry has been accused at times of not being as embracing of technology as we probably should be. And I think that's more in the past, certainly, than it is now. But I think it maybe has taken us some time to, but again, with what you do, with your company, and what other of our allied partners do, are providing affordable opportunities for these properties, you know, to kind of move into the future, to, you know, again, it's about the guest experience. So it's tools that give them a good experience and help make that easier for you to contribute. So thanks for that. And look forward to, you know, we're looking forward to a good rest of the year this year. And we've got lots of, you know, conversations and work to be had that look forward to. And I'm looking forward to having the study done here in the next couple of months and kind of working our way, you know, to Albuquerque and, you know, moving on. So appreciate the partnership.
Outstanding. Steve, anything else to add before we close it out?
Just say the same thing as far as AIHP is concerned, and as well as Rob, you giving your time to us today. A lot of good information, a lot of helpful information that hopefully people listening will be able to use. And so we really, really appreciate the time and look forward to keep working with AIHP as well.
Yeah, appreciate it.
That's perfect. And this, yeah, for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Frictionless Innkeeper podcast interview with Rob Fulton, the CEO of AIHP. And as you heard, Rob was kind enough to share his overall perspective on the state of the industry, how innkeepers should embrace Airbnb and OTAs, and much more. And we really hope you enjoyed this episode of the Frictionless Innkeeper podcast series brought to you by the Frictionless Guest app. If you wish to learn more, please visit frictionlessguest.com. Once again, that's frictionlessguest.com.